B'shus, your wonderful Rosh Yeshiva. It's Erev Rosh Hashanah. We say every day, L'davar Hashem, Erev Yishi. Oiri is a Rosh Hashanah. Oiri is a Rosh Hashanah, Chazal say the light, my light. My light is Rosh Hashanah. There is no day of the entire year that's as lichtig, that's shining as brightly as Rosh Hashanah, the mesikas, the sweetness of Rosh Hashanah. The kivus alakim that a person can experience in Rosh Hashanah. Unfortunately, many of us have been raised with a certain dark, negative feeling about Rosh Hashanah, and all we hear are the words, Hine Yom Hadin. Akilu, there's no siddur, there's no machzer, only in the Sanatoykev, Mi Ba'esh, Mi Ba'mai, which Bekoshi made its way into the machzer of Rosh Hashanah. There are many, many tzaddikim who didn't want that in the machzer of Rosh Hashanah. It got in somehow. But the Ikke Tefillah of Rosh Hashanah is Haifa B'Hadar Goinu Zecha. It's the greatest and deepest expression on the part of Am Yisrael and each and every one of us to be able to somehow on Rosh Hashanah to meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to encounter Hashem. A moment of clarity, the Simlach Ato Hashem. So I want to talk in the simplest way. I'm not going to say any fancy stuff here, just simple, plain mamalashin. What's the nekuda apnimis of Rosh Hashanah? The kulanu. To try to understand the focal point of Rosh Hashanah. Everybody wants to live. Everybody wants to live, and that rotzen to live actually gets people up to go to slichus and to go to daven. Not only do we want to live, we want our families to live. We want all of Am Yisrael to be able to have life and a good, healthy year. We know there's this book that's called the Sefer Chaim. We're not sure exactly what that means, the Sefer Chaim, but on the simplest level, it means to live, and we want to be written in there. We made it from last year to this year. Mitzvah Shem, we should make it to the end of the year, each and every one of us, and we want to be able to continue to live. What's interesting is that we're not the only ones who want us to live. He says, Achrein l'chaim, melech chofetz b'chaim. That means that Hashem is Baruch also wants us to live. Hashem is a melech chofetz b'chaim. Hashem loves life. He loves life. He invested in us and he invested in this world because he loves life. Hashem is a melech chofetz b'chaim. He desires and he longs for life. So chevra, look. I don't know if any of you are in the parish of Shaduchim yet. I see some around here that are. Some of you might think that you are or you want to be. That mitzvah Hashem at the right time. But what's the job of a shadchan? The job of a shadchan is when you have lav dafka by getting married, you could have someone that's metavach, that's brokering a deal in business. When you have two sides, so there's Reuven and there's Shimon in a business deal, and the job of the shadchan is, when you have something between the two sides that doesn't work out exactly, there's some level of disagreement, there's negotiations that need to take place. So the job of the shadchan is to try to bring the two parties closer together, to broker a deal between the two parties. So, l'mashal, going back to Chasam Kala. So let's say there's some disagreement or there's a question about whether or not the young man is going to continue in learning, and if he is, how are the family supposed to help with this, who's paying for this, and so on. So the Shadchan is trying to bring the two parties closer together to be on the same page. One party prefers that the fellow only goes to learn for a year. The other party wants that he goes for 2 years. Or this one says, I'm going to give this much money. He says, no, you have to give this. And the job of the Shadchan is to try to remove all that's in the way and to bring the two parties to an agreement that they can live with. Nachon? That's what every Shadchan, that's what every broker does. But if the two parties are in complete agreement, in other words, let's say you have a guy and a girl, and everything's gewaldic, and they meet, and they fall in love, and they want to get married. The two sets of parents are old friends. They mamish love each other for many, many, many years. They're close friends. They have the same goals, the same ideals. And everything is exactly the way that it could be, that it should be, and everybody's happy. What's the job of the Shadchan? In such a shidduch, the only reason you would have a Shadchan is because it's traditional to have a Shadchan. Shadchan is the Rosh HaTevis Sheker Doivel Kesef Noitel. Sheker Doivel Kesef Noitel, which most Shadchanim have to lie and have to distort the truth in order to bring the two sides to think that they can get along together. And for that, most Shadchanim get paid a good amount of money. But when you have two parties that agree, and everything is gewaldic, guy and the girl want to get married. The two families, this is terrific, can't get better than that. So, you don't really need a Shadchan. So what's interesting here is, mitzad the kala, that's us, Reshem's kala, mitzad the kala, we want to live. We want to live. Mitzad the chosen, he's a melech chofetz b'chaim. He wants us to live. So if we want to live, and he wants us to live, why can't we drop the Shadchan? What's the Shadchan? It's crying and begging and screaming, Rabbeinu Shlomo. Please, please, please. Avinu Malkeinu, Avinu Malkeinu, Avinu Malkeinu. Kol Sveinu B'Sefer Chaim Tov. What's all the crying? What's all the begging? It seems that the Chasan and Kala agree. We might have some other things that we disagree about, but as far as life, we want to live, and the Baruch Shem is a Melech Chofetz B'chaim. So what's all the Shadchanis? What's all of the Avoida? What's all of the effort that we're putting, that we have to put, to try to be written in that book, whatever that means, in that book, Kosvein B'Sayif V'chaim? We all agree. So there's a famous story, probably many of you know it. There was a time in Russia that there were many, many terrible gzeiros that were passed against the Jewish people. And there were great tzaddikim who spent a considerable amount of time traveling back and forth from their towns, their villages, and cities to go to St. Petersburg in order to make a hishtadlus with the government, with the corrupt government in St. Petersburg. The tzaddikim were seen, the Rabbanim and tzaddikim were seen in those years as the representatives of the Jewish people. And we have some remarkable stories that took place, and also great meetings that took place between tzaddikim from different backgrounds. So at that particular time, the three who frequented St. Petersburg the most was the Netziv from Volozhin, Reb Itzhak Petterberger, who actually came from St. Petersburg originally, Reb Itzhak Petterberger, and the Tzemach Tzedek from Lubavitch. And these three tzaddikim spent a lot of time. The Tzemach Tzedek was representing all of the Chassidim, and the two great Rosh Yeshivas, Reb Itzhak was a Tzadik Yisod Olam, the big Baal Musa, represented the world of of Lithuania, of the yeshivas, and they made tremendous estadlis to help Jews. Many times when they went, they would have to stay for quite a few weeks to make the estadlis. So it happened that one year there was some terrible decree, and these three tzaddikim had to go during Elul. They had to go in September, whatever it was, they had to go to St. Petersburg and to work on this inyan. And that meant raising a lot of money to pay the Russians off and other estadlis. And because of that time that it happened, that particular year, they actually got stuck. They had to be in Rosh Hashanah. They had to be for Rosh Hashanah in St. Petersburg. And this obviously was very difficult for them, because in those years, and now also, St. Petersburg was not a center of Yiddishkeit by any stretch of the imagination. Yiddishkeit was really not found in St. Petersburg. The larger cities in general had very, very little Yiddishkeit. The Jews were able to breathe a little bit in the villages and the towns, but not in Moscow and not in St. Petersburg. Not in Kiev, not in Odessa. Jews generally, Yiddishkeit did not flourish in those years in those larger cities. And these tzaddikim saw that they had to be Rosh Hashanah in St. Petersburg. So they had a choice. They had some people that came with them, assistants, shamashim, and so on, and they had a minyan. And the shamashim wanted them to have a minyan. They brought a Sefer Torah to make a minyan in the hotel where they were staying, just that chevra of the tzaddikim together with their shamashim. But all three of them, the Netziv, Rabbi Tzla Petterberger, and the Tzemach Tzedek, decided that that would not be the right thing to do. They're in St. Petersburg. There's a big shul in St. Petersburg, and there are Jews that are there. They know that we're here in town, and it would not be right for us to daven by ourselves. So they decided that they would go daven with the tzibur, they would go daven with the oilim in the big shul in St. Petersburg. Now, the big shul in St. Petersburg consisted primarily of individuals who in those days were known as Cantonists. Do any of you know what that's about? The Cantonists were Jews that were taken when they were very young, 16, 17 years old. Some of them were taken when they were 13, 14, after Bar Mitzvah. They were taken away by the Russians, by the Tsar, and they were forced to enlist in the army. And the sentence of being in the army was a minimum of 25 years. 25 years in the Russian army. This was a terrible, terrible gzeira. It was a terrible tragedy. Many of these boys never came back. They didn't survive. And even those who did survive came back without a shemitz of Yiddishkeit, without the slightest connection to the Bar Olam. Shabbos, Kashrus, Pesach. They came back with hardly anything. Kulei Hai, they remembered a little bit of the Yiddish from the home, and they were able to communicate with Jews when they came back. And some of them remembered Shema Yisrael a little bit, to daven. Aleph Beis, Shema Yisrael. There are many stories about these Cantonists. Tens and tens of thousands, if not more, of our people were lost. The shul in St. Petersburg, Ruba de Ruba, the shul consisted of Cantonists, of these soldiers who had the minyan, who davened and would come only Rosh Hashanah and Kippur to daven. They were allowed off to come to daven. Those who were stationed in the area were allowed by the Russians to come only on Yom Teruah to daven. So you can imagine the Netziv, Rabbi Tzla Petterberger, and the Tzemach Tzedek go to daven in the big shul. And something happened on that Rosh Hashanah that all three of the tzaddikim would tell over every year. Every year they would tell over on Rosh Hashanah. In Volozhin and Lubavitch, they would say over every year Rosh Hashanah what happened. Before Musaf, the oldest of the cantonists was an old soldier, he was a colonel in the army. So he was going to be the Baal Tefillah, the Chazan. During Shachris, the Tzaddikim saw that they could really barely daven. And now, after everything, it came time for Musaf. And this old cantonist, this old soldier, got up before Musaf. And this is what he said. And these Tzaddikim would say it over every year, Rosh Hashanah. Now I'm giving it over to you. I think some of you might know this. So this old soldier got up, this Yid got up in front of the whole chevra there, the Olam, in the shul in Petersburg, and said, he says, chevra, what should we daven for? He said, the truth is, what's there left for us to daven for? To daven for life, that we should live? Sevishn uns, between us here, our lives are miserable. Our lives are absolutely miserable. Many of us are going to get killed. The freezing cold winters, the loneliness being away from our families. So to daven for life, seriously, how many of us really want to live? So maybe we should daven to Hashem to get married. But you know that we're not allowed to get married. Jews are not allowed to get married. Jewish soldiers are not allowed. The non-Jewish soldiers were allowed at a certain time to get married. The Jewish soldiers were not allowed to get married. So to daven for shidduch, we're not allowed to. We're not allowed to get married. To daven for children, no chasna, no children. So maybe we should daven for parnasa. How many of you know this story? Some of you know it? So maybe we should daven for parnasa. Mr. Tachlis, every single one of us gets a stipend from the Tsar. The Tsar takes care of our food and our clothing, our uniforms, and the place where we live, with the barracks, with the soldiers. So there's no point in davening not for life, not for a shidduch, not for kids, and not for a parnasa. So you know, there's Bona Chaim, we just went through the whole list. So what is it to daven for? It's Rosh Hashanah. So then this soldier, the tzaddikim said that this soldier began to cry. And he said, there's absolutely nothing for us to daven for. There's no tachlis. We have nothing to ask for. Because there's no point to our lives. And we can't get married, have kids, and we don't need anything. There's only one thing that we're asking, there's only one thing that we need. And he started to scream out, Yiskaldu v'yiskaldu shmei rab. V'chein ten pachtecha. V'chein shimcha yiskadesh. Shimcha lalkeni yiskadesh. V'chein ten kovra Hashem la'amecha. For ourselves, there's nothing to daven, but Rabbi Yishlam, for you, and for your people. V'chein yiskadesh shimcha Hashem lalkeni. And v'chein ten kovra la'amecha. That this has happened to us, and this is what's going on with the Jewish people. And more than anything, Rabbi Shalom, Yiskalov Yiskadish Shmei Rabbi, because if the Jewish people have no covet, then you also are not respected in this world. And your name is not being glorified and not being sanctified. So all we could daven for is Yiskalov Yiskadish Shmei Rabbi. And then the whole island began screamed out, Amen. Be'olma Divrach Yerusev Yamlich Machusei. The whole ums. That's how the davening of Musaf began. that Rosh Hashanah in Petersburg. And the tzaddikim said this story over every Rosh Hashanah. And that's how we have this ma'aseh. Okay, so that's Russia in the middle of the 19th century. So let's fast forward to New York, or wherever Jews are now, Tavshin Ayin Vav, moving to Tavshin Ayin Zayin Mitzvah. To understand the simple depth of that drasha that the old soldier gave in Petersburg, that Rosh Hashanah. So, because you and I, we do have lists of things to daven for. We do. And even though, Bez Hashem, most of you are taken care of as far as Parnassah, although there are some difficulties, obviously, with families. Not everybody's able to afford, and some of the boys have to work on their own to be able to afford things. But we have, Baruch Hashem, what to eat. Most of us are concerned about nowadays about eating too much. But we have what to eat, Baruch Hashem. Shidduchim, to get married. So Parnassah, maybe we don't have to daven as much, but certainly we're davening for our families and for the Jews, Parnassah. As far as Shidduchim are concerned, you're already, most of you are at an age where soon you're going to be in the parasha, if you're not already in the parasha. And there's already davening going on here that in Mitzvah Shem, that all of you should be married to the right person at the right time. So there's what to daven for. For life? All of us want to live. So to live, so we're davening for life. The question of Rosh Hashanah, so we do have what to daven for, unlike the Cantonists in Petersburg. We have what to daven for this Rosh Hashanah. And the whole list of Avinu Malkeinu, we can go through the whole thing. All of the Avinu Malkeinu apply to us. We have what to daven for. So this is what the Rebbeinu Shlomo is saying to each and every one of us right now, every Rosh Hashanah, Tav Shana, Ayin Zayin. The Rebbeinu Shlomo says like this. The Rebbeinu Shlomo says, Chaim Moshe Ben Peril. That's me. His Chaim Moshe Ben Peril, this past year, I gave you life. You asked me last Rosh Hashanah, Kosveinu B'Sefer Chaim, Chosmeinu B'Sefer Chaim, Chaim Toivim, Baruch Hashem. I don't know if Hashem says Baruch Hashem, but I don't know how he would say that. But the Rebbeinu Shlom says, I gave it to you. I gave you, Nachon, Chaim Moshe Ben Peril, did I give you life this past year? Yes, Rebbeinu Shlom. Health-wise, was it, thank God, thank you, Rebbeinu Shlom. I'm getting a little bit older, but that's good. It's harder a little bit to walk up the stairs. I got to work out more. But for the most part, the children are healthy and well. The grandchildren are healthy. So the Baruch Shalom says, so I gave you and your wife as well. Baruch Hashem. Thank you. Parnassah. You have what to live, Baruch Hashem. So I gave you these things. And what did you do with all of these things that I gave you? You see, whether you're in St. Petersburg or you're in Washington Heights, the question of Rosh Hashanah is, what's the tachlis of the life that you're asking for? Why do you want to live? What's the point of your life? I gave you life. And I'll sign you up again for another year of life. But you tell me, Hashem's asking each and every one of us, Rosh Hashanah, but you tell me, why do you want to live? Why do you want to live? Do you want to get married? You'd like to get married? Very nice. So I'd like you to tell me, why do you want to get married? What's the tachlis? So you could have a stroll with your wife on the boardwalk someplace in Miami. And you could have cute kids and take them to Sears to get some pictures taken or something. What's a tachlis? All that's nice stuff. I like to take a walk with my wife also on the boardwalk. That's why I gave that as an example. All that is nice. But the Baruch Hashem says, I'm okay with that. Hashem says, I'm okay. As long as it's not against the Shulchan Aruch, I'm okay with it. That means that if you're walking on the boardwalk, make sure it's a time where there aren't people running around without their clothing. That's okay. Hashem says, I'm 100% fine, as long as it's not, as long as the Mechab is okay and the Ramah, as long as the Mishnah Berurah, the Aruch HaShulchan, and the Rav Shulchan Aruch, as long as the Magen Avraham Nataz, the Prima God, I mean, it's a list, but as long as they're happy, as long as they're happy, the Baruch Shalom says, I'm also happy. That's okay. You don't have to be machne. You don't have to make yourself crazy. The Baruch Shalom says, I want you to enjoy my world. It's fine. I want you to have the prettiest wife and the cutest kids. And I want you to have a nice house and a good job. But I'm asking you, what's the tachlis of all these gifts that you're asking me for? You have a whole shopping list of Avinu Malkeinu. You're asking me for stuff. Why do you want these things? When you're asking somebody to give you a gift, or you're asking somebody to give you something, the person is entitled to ask you, why? Why should I give this to you? A serious Jew, and you're all serious Jews, you're B'nai Torah, you learn Torah every day of your lives. You daven every day of your lives. A serious Jew, a Jew who still has a heart that's beating from Har Sinai. And all of us are the descendants of the Ovis and the Imahs, and Jews who put their necks onto the Mizbeach to be Jews, to live as Jews, and sometimes to have to die as Jews. And Rosh Hashanah, the question of Rosh Hashanah is, Vos is the Tachlis. Why do you want these things? Why is life important to you? This is a very basic question. There's Yiddishkeit 001, I told you, simple. Why do you want to live? Why do you need to make a living? Why do you want to get married? Why are you worried about what's happening in Eretz Yisrael? Why does that concern you? Why does it concern you what's happening to your friend or to your relative? Why does all of this concern you? So every year, the Netziv Rabbi Tzvi Paterberger and the Tzemach Tzedek would say, we had a Rosh Hashanah, or did we have a Rosh Hashanah in the big shul in St. Petersburg with those Jewish soldiers? Not one of them had a beard and payas. They didn't wear tzitzis, not in and not out. But there was an old soldier who said, at the end of the day, Baruch Shalom, all that counts is Yiskadav Yiskadav Shmei Rabba. V'chein Yiskadav Shimcha Hashem. V'yeda kol yitzur, v'yeda kol pul ki'ata pa'alta. V'kol yitzur ki'ata yitzarta. The whole tachlis of Rosh Hashanah is to address that question. Is to think about that question, not in a morbid and depressing way. Because as L'dovet Hashem is Ori V'yishi, or Lichtig, light. To review and to ask yourself the question again, what's the tachlis? Why am I learning? Look at all the svarim in this room. And every one of you carries a knapsack, or you carry in your arms a peckle of svar. Why are we learning Masechta Kiddushin? Why am I learning the Rambam? What's the tachlis? The whole world thinks that we're nuts, that we spend our entire lives looking at these tiny letters, talking about stuff, much of which never happened or never will happen. What's the tachlis? Why are we learning Torah? The answer that soldier gave was, to him it was so clear because what else is there? In their mitzvahs, they didn't have anything else. But the tzaddikim understood that Jew, that soldier, cleared away all of the confusion, cleared away all of the trees, and allowed them and us to remember that there's a forest. There's a malchus of Hashem as Baruch. There's Hamelech. And that we were created to love Him and to serve Him. And Rosh Hashanah, the whole tefillah of Rosh Hashanah, is Haifa na bahadar goinu zech, Rabbanu Shalom, help me on this Rosh Hashanah, help me this Rosh Hashanah, that at least for a minute or two, somehow, I should have the answer to that question. I should feel it deep, deep in my bones, that my tachlis of being in this world is You, is Lamancha. Help me feel that in the clearest way. Even if it's for a minute or two, Rabbi Shalom, please, I beg you, don't let me go through a Rosh Hashanah with the silliness and the smallness, with just having a list of things that I want. But help me remember why I want these things. Because my neshama knows why I want these things, but I forget. All of the davening is this nekuda. Galei kvoid malchuscha, galei reveal. Because I don't see it with my eyes. I want to believe in this, but I don't see it with my eyes. You know, that when the Satan Rav Shlomo Silanter came to America, he didn't have a whole Chassidus then. He didn't have his whole big army of Chassidim. In the beginning, when he first came here, my mother's cousin, who was among the Sheiris HaPleita, who joined the Satan Rebbe after the Holocaust here in America, when they survived and they came, he said he remembers, you're not going to believe this, but he remembers that in the beginning there were times where the Satan Rebbe stood outside on the street and called in people to make a minyan. And if you tell it over to a Satan Chassid nowadays, he'll say, it's sheker, it's not true, whoever said such a thing, there were always hundreds of... My mother's cousin was there with him and said that there were times that I went out with the Rebbe and the Rebbe said, Come on. To come in for minyan. In the beginning, even many of the sheriffs of Plata did not want to daven anymore after the Holocaust. They didn't want to daven. It took them some time. When I was a kid, when I'd walk with my father in the streets of Borough Park in Williamsburg, we'd go there to shopping or to visit relatives. My father would sometimes meet a friend, and he would always, almost always he would say to me, he would meet a friend with a long white beard and pays and a coat down to the floor and white socks. My father said, he didn't always look that way. They did before the war, all of them. But after the war, we didn't look that way. It took him some time to put the lavush back on. And there are many of them in the beginning that didn't daven, that didn't keep Shabbos. They took some time off. Many of them came back, and others didn't. So that first Rosh Hashanah that the Satmar Rav was in New York, the Beis HaMedrash was filled with Jews. There were no children. You understand? There were no children. Came out, all of the children were killed. There were Tzibrochna Yidin who lost their parents, lost their wives. Some of them had found a wife, lost all their kids, and they were in the Beis HaMedrash with the Satmar Rav. And that Rosh Hashanah, the Satmar Rav started to scream. Rabbanu Shalom, we're in this place now because we believe that You're here. And we're here in this place because we believe that You were with us even during these past years in the Gehenna that we were in. That's why we're still here. And then the Satan Rav said, but Rabbanu Shalom, it's so hard to see You. And he started to scream, Higalah na, reveal Yourself to us, make Yourself known to us. And the whole Olam started to scream and to cry, Higalah na, Rabbanu Shalom, please, it's so hard for us to go on. Show Yourself to us a little bit. Rosh Hashanah is the cry of a Jew, Higalah na. Galei kvoid malchus, Rabbanu Shalom, it's so hard. We're trying to do all the things you told us to do. But it's hard. We don't see you. So we're asking you, Rosh Hashanah, Galik Vod Malchusra, in here, in the whole world. Give back the honor and the dignity to your people that's been so lost over time. I don't want to live an undignified life. I'm sick and disgusted with the things that I look at that I shouldn't be looking at and the thoughts that I have. Hashem, help me get back my cover, but it's hard for me if I don't see you. So the whole davening of Rosh Hashanah is Haifa Bahadar Go'ainu Zach. Appear to us. Appear to me in a way that I'll know it deep in my heart that this is it and it's real and that my life is important. Because that's what it means to be written in the book of life. It doesn't mean stomp to live. Because the Baruch Shalom gave us life. The question is, what's the tachlis of your life? Now we come back to the original question. So why do we need a shadchan? We want to live. And the Baruch Shalom says, he's a melech chofetz b'chayim. He wants us to live. So we don't need to cry and beg for life. He wants us to live. So what's the whole davening? What's this whole business of kasveinu, chasmeinu, sefer chaim, toiv, what a refuah, what? We agree. There's no need. We could drop the shadchan, like they say. We don't need a shadchan. Everybody's on the same page. We want to live, and he wants us to live. But here, Rabbi says, we need a shadchan of our davening, and our davening is a shadchan. Because there's where the space is. Where that guy, that soldier screamed out, that really all there is to daven for is Yiskal of Yiskal de Shmei Rav. Zachrein l'chaim el Chavetz Chaim. I purposely did not say the end of the sentence. Let's go over the whole sentence. Zachrein l'chaim. You want to live. Remember us for life. Melech Chavetz b'chaim. Good. So far, so good. Rav Yishlom wants us to live. But then let's finish the sentence. Zachrein l'chaim el Chavetz Chaim. What? L'mancha elokim chaim. L'mancha elokim chai. What is life? Chaver, what is life? What's the tachlis of living if it's not l'mancha elokim chai? To be another person's dragging around in the world. What's the purpose of being smart and knowing how to learn pshat and taisus if it's not l'mancha elokim chai? To be able to shlug up your chavusa, to be able to show your Rebbe you're smart, to get a good report card. What's the tachlis? What's the tachlis of wrapping ourselves like this and putting on this? What's the tachlis of holding ourselves back from everything else that the rest of the world is going after? Zachrein l'chaim, l'chavetz chaim, kasveinu b'sefer chaim. L'mancha l'kim chaim. That's the key. To remember that, to remember. L'mancha l'kim chaim. So what happens in Rosh Hashanah? Chol bay olam ovrim lefanecha kibnei morim. The whole world, all each and every one of us, is passes before Hashem's eyes. Kibnei Morim. So the Gemara asks in Rosh Hashanah, "My Kibnei Morim, what does that mean? Kibnei Morim, what's Bnei Morim?" In the different days, in the Gemara. So Rav Yehuda says, Rav Shmuel says, "Kichayolois shall base David," like the soldiers of David HaMelech. David. Not a bunch of schleppers, not a bunch of nebuchs. Kichayolos shalbeis David. Rashi says, what's the Indian chayolos kibes David? That when the soldiers go out to war, each soldier is appointed and told, you, your job is to go to this place and you're in charge of the tank. You're in charge of the artillery. You're in charge of this one. You're a spy to go to the... Everybody is given his tafkid. So the tzaddikim say that the inyan of Rosh Hashanah is kol b'nei morin over lefanecha ki b'nei morin, means that each and every one of us has to think this. So achrein l'chaim 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 l'man chilekim chaim Rabbi Yishlam hineini, I'm one of your soldiers. I'm signing up. It's the day of Zayom Tchilas Masach. It's the day of enlistment. Rosh Hashanah is the day of the enlistment, the big enlistment. I'm signing up. I'm one of the soldiers of David HaMelech. Rabbi Yishlam, what's my tafkid this year? Tell me what to do. I'm here. Hineini. I'll do what you ask me to do. I want to understand what my tafkid is. What is my purpose in this world? But I'm a soldier, and you give me my assignment, and I'm going to go do it. Kechayolos shel beis David. Not stam chayalim, shel beis David. To re-enlist. That's what Rosh Hashanah is, to enlist. Zeh yom tchilas masach, as he currently in Rishon. One of my sons-in-law has a great-grandfather who's a very big tzaddik. He's called the Rebbe from Sokolov. It's one of his grandfathers. And the Sokolov from Kosk, Morgenstern, that world of the Kosk and the Enikel. And the Sokolov, when he became Rav, he was a very young man. He came to, I don't remember the name of the first place, where he was a huge Talmud Chacham. I don't remember where he was Rav. In some village. And after davening, he stayed behind after davening, and he was putting away his talis and tefillin. He was learning a little bit. He put away his talis and he was learning some mishnayos a little before going to have breakfast. And it was already quite late. The davening was already finished a while. And some guy comes walking in with a wild look on his face. And he says, I need a talis and tefillin. You have a talis and tefillin. Now, the truth is that the Sokolov was very upset because the tzaddikim don't like other people so much to wear their talis and tefillin. They put a lot of kaychus into their minds, into what they're thinking about in davening. And this guy looked like he was some sort of a peasant, and he wasn't happy to give this guy his talis and tefillin. But what are you going to do? Are you going to say no? You're not going to give a guy to daven? So the Sokolov, b'delez breira, he gave this guy his talis and tefillin. The guy puts on talis and tefillin, and he's walking around. Doesn't have a siddur. He's just dragging around. Doesn't say anything. Just walking. Sometimes you can see that, it's just walking around. It's not saying anything. Then he goes to the window, and he's looking outside the window. Now, the Sokolov is mamish, angry. What an abuse of my talis and tefillin. My whole life, I'm careful to guard my talis and tefillin with Kedusha. And this yokel is walking around, looking at girls on the street or something. So this yid, he said, come here, I want to show you something. He said to the Sokolov. Sokolov felt insulted. Does he know who my grandfather is? He's telling me to, this peasant is ordering me to come to the window. So he got up and he went to the window. The Sokolov told over this mice. He goes to the window. And outside on the street, there's a division of soldiers with their, I don't know, colonel or general, whoever, the boss. And they're practicing, training their marching. And the Yid with the talis over his head and the tefillin of the Sokolov says to the Sokolov, do you see this? So Sokolov says, what's there to see? It's a couple of guys marching on the street. So the Yid says, a couple of guys marching, he says, I'll tell you what I see. I see that this one is in charge. And when he says to them, march to the right, every single one of them in perfect formation goes to the right. When he says march to the left, perfect formation, they march to the left. Forward march. Pick up your gun. Everything is exactly. And then he said, do you see this? You understand this? That the Rebbe Shalom says to us, forward march. The Rebbe Shalom says, go to the right, go to the left. And they're listening to this colonel. The Ami lo yada, Yisrael lo hisbayne. And that the Baruch Shalom's children can't listen to him. The Sokolov was very nispal, and he left the room, and he came back, and he found his talis and tefillin that were drenched with perspiration and tears. And he believed, he said to the family, that this must have been one of the Lamed Vav Tzaddik. Chever, the Baruch Shalom should help us to be good soldiers. It's coming to the end of the war. It's winding down. Let's try to sign up, each and every one of us, Laman Chalukim Chaim, to march according to Hashem's marching orders, that it should be a better year, a good year for us and for all of Am Yisrael. Each and every one of you, all of your families, and all of Am Yisrael, should be Nechtov, Nechtam, Mesefron, Shal Tzadikim, Ishnas, Gul of Yeshua, Lanu, Lekar Yisrael, Amen, Amen.